Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 54 of the Panelcast. My name is AJ.
This is Brian.
This week, before we actually get started, I wanted to bring up a couple of quick points before we get going. First off, if you are under the age of 18, it'd probably be a good time to turn off our Panelcast. I know we normally mention this in between, but we need to bring this up on a regular basis. So if you're under the 18, you might want to turn this off. If you are adverse to cursing or anything like that, or just inappropriate senses of humor, you may want to stop and turn off the Panelcast right now. Otherwise, keep on going, you know. Secondly, this is going to be a fairly long show. And here's why. Brian's got some comics that he actually decided to read this week. He remembered he likes comic books, so he read them in abundance. And we also have live footage from, not live footage, but recorded footage that we took while at Free Comic Book Day, as well as the Los Angeles Comic Con. So all in all, you're looking at about an hour and a half show. So if that's cool with you, then we're just going to keep on trucking on. Brian's got some comics and some news, like we said. I'm going to touch base on some of the stuff that we've got going on Forbidden Panel. And we're also, like I said, going to play you the recorded footage and interviews that we did at Free Comic Book Day and the Los Angeles Comic Con. All that and probably some more random bits and cursing and offensive stuff that we have to say. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brandy Ossett, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandyossett.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
And we are back, and I'm feeling a little bit miserable in this humidity here, but I'm going to go ahead and just try to get through it and do the news segment.
That's what you get for moving.
Apparently. Yeah, who knew that the East Coast was humid?
Everybody on the East Coast.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of stories to go through for this podcast, but I think maybe I need to update my Google feeds for the stories that it finds, because I keep getting stuff for Patton Oswalt, which is not really relevant.
Not that he's a bad comic. I mean, I like him. He's
no. No. I mean, he does talk about comics and geeky stuff in his act, but I guess at some point we could talk about Patton Oswalt, but it wasn't relevant for what I was looking for. But let's see. Jonah Hex is going to be getting a motion comic treatment. If anybody out there is not familiar with what a motion comic is, they are sort of a meshing of animation and comic book style pictures, so they're not really animated in the traditional sense that you would think of, like a Disney cartoon or something. It's really more of a rudimentary sort of animation, usually, and special effects to it, but they have it all based off of the comic book drawings, and then sometimes they'll go in and add music and voiceovers and stuff. So it kind of, I guess, adds a little bit more atmosphere to the comic if it's that sort of thing that you're interested in. Personally for me, I still find it easier to read the comics than to watch the motion comics, just because a lot of times my brain reads a lot faster, and then when you have to watch the motion comic, you just kind of have to sit there and wait for it to finish its thing.
I agree. That's pretty much the same exact reason why I'm not a big fan of the motion comics. And plus, they remind me of the old 70s cartoons, you know, 70s and 60s cartoons that they did with Marvel.
Right. They're you know, 4 frames of animation per second.
Right. I mean, it's not really – there's no really motion in it. The characters aren't moving or anything. It's just, you know, a flat image being slid around back and forth like Gumby. You know, so I'm just not a big fan of it either.
I've seen some that actually have done a little bit more than just that, just moved the actual frame around. Like, they will use some effects to kind of make the characters pop out and move around on the screen.
Yeah, but that's the same thing as using the iPhone comic book reader, basically. It's just, you know, you push on a section of the image and it'll pop out to life to give emphasis on the character or the action that's being happening in the scene. I mean, it's great for, like, kids and stuff, you know? Or people like on the go, but as far as like, I don't know, I just can't, like you said, it's like a It's like watching a movie with subtitles, you know? Unless the movie's really, really great, then I normally just am done reading the story before anything's going on, and I just feel like I'm waiting for the movie to catch up to me. That's the same with the motion comic. Right. I feel like I'm waiting for the motion comic to catch up to me, and sometimes it gets annoying.
Right. So, I mean, I enjoy them on certain aspects, but yeah, my preferred method is still just reading the comic. Let's see what else. In the world of crossovers from one form to another, we've also got Mass Effect Redemption is being set to be released in June. Seems to be pretty much the standard now, and I know we've talked about this before, but it seems like every big blockbuster video game gets its own comic book treatment out there.
Which is kind of cool, but kind of not cool at the same time. I mean, you know, you play the video game and you're immersed in the world in that aspect, and then when you read the comic, it just feels like, you know, it takes away that whole personal feeling for me anyway. But, I mean, sometimes it works out great. Unfortunately, I read the God of War comic book that was based on the video game on the third one, and right. I thought it was complete shit. Like, I just couldn't get behind it. The imagery was too blurred. The art style, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it just didn't fit. I didn't feel it, and I stopped reading about halfway through. So, who knows, maybe Mass Effect will have a different feeling.
Well, from what I understand about the Mass Effect games, because the stories are so huge, just the particular type of game that it is, that it seems like it probably would work a little bit better to maybe fill in some of the backstories. As I know they've done this with the Knights of the Old Republic games, where they have comic books that sort of fill in parts of this story that just get hinted at in the video game.
Well, yeah, so, and that part is nice, but when you're trying to, when they base the game on the main gameplay that's happening, or the comic on the main gameplay that's happening, it kind of takes away from it, I think.
Yeah, I agree, because it ends up not being the same experience at all.
Right.
And got another story here. This is more of an entertaining story that I thought I'd bring up. There is a comic book store owner who was dressed up as Spider-Man, ended up getting caught on, a closed-circuit camera, preventing a theft of some guy who was trying to steal a bunch of X-Men comics. And I know that Spider-Man is your favorite character ever, so I thought I would bring this story up.
Obviously, you don't know me well.
I just always find stories about people dressed up as superheroes actually stopping crimes to be entertaining. this one happened in Australia, I believe.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it was in Australia. Adelaide, I guess, is where it took place. And apparently, the guy was trying to steal some... Oh, it was an X-Men omnibus, which apparently is that big giant
right
book that I don't think anybody's ever actually bought.
No, I have one.
Okay, I stand corrected. At least one person has bought.
That's right. Don't you forget. Those omnibuses are pretty cool, because, I mean, they're called the Essentials. The Essential series, you know, the Essential X-Men, the Essential Spider-Man, so on and so forth. And they're cool because they collect a lot of stories. It's like the first, I'd say, about 10 graphic
novels. Do they have the whole run?
Some of them do. Like, the Walking Dead has, like, issues 1 through 60 in it. So, I mean, they're pretty cool just to have all in one sitting. You can have it all in one place, you know, as opposed to carrying around multiple issues. Or they even look really good on the shelf. So, I mean, they're a good deal. Especially, like, I was at the LA Comic Con this weekend, and they had them on sale for $5 a pop. So, like, Wow. Yeah, it was a good deal. So, like, for $100, you could have the entire Marvel Universe at that point, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking those books were a lot more expensive than they were.
They are normally in the comic book store, they are. But, like I said, at the LA Comic Con, as you know, it's you get everything discounted there, so...
That's true. I'm sure a lot of this stuff probably fell off the back of a truck.
I'm sure it did. It fell in my truck.
All right, and I'm gonna go ahead and spare you guys the Blue Water nonsense this time around, and in my new segment here.
That's the highlight of the new segment, man. You're pissing off all of our customers, all of our listeners.
I am, but I'm really taking this break for myself. I don't need the stress in my heart.
Okay, well, all right then. On that part, I'll forgive you.
Okay, so unless you have any other news items or bits that you want to add in there, I think we can go ahead and take a break.
Well, there's a few things I wanted to toss out there real quick, news bit wise. I'm sure many of you who are on the website have seen that we have a couple new game trailers as well as movie trailers up. Brian touched on the Jonah Hex animated motion comic earlier. We have the theatrical trailer from the movie up on the site. Yeah, I'd like you guys to go ahead and check it out. I personally think it looks like a load of tripe, but it's Josh Brolin, you know, and he's been, like, hitting him out of the park lately, so I'll give it a chance and go check it out. Plus, I'm a big fan of Jonah Hex in some weird, shameful way, so I'll go check it out. The other news bit is we have the new trailer for Batman Under the Red Hood, which is an animated movie coming out here soon. I'm a huge fan of these new DC Direct movies for some reason. I don't know why, but I think that they're just really cool, and this one looks pretty badass as well if you're familiar with the Red Hood storyline. If not, then you should check it out. And the last trailer we have up there is Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. And you know what? I was being a bit of a jerk earlier. Spider-Man is one of my favorite characters. When they do him right, I'm really appreciating right now that his comic book is being put on a weekly basis as opposed to a monthly basis. So it's kind of cool that you're not really missing a lot of time in between stories and cliffhangers and what have you. But Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, it just looks amazing because it's built on the same game engine that Arkham Asylum was done on. And we all know how much I love that one. This one touches bases with four different characters, four different universes in which Spider-Man exists on. The first one being the Amazing Universe, that'd be the Amazing Spider-Man that we're all familiar with. And a new universe that was created for him, that's the Noir Universe. Marvel opened up this whole noir universe lately with Wolverine and X-Men Noir and what have you, and Spider-Man Noir as well, and they have that character as a playable dimension in here. There's two other ones that have not been revealed yet, but I'm very anxious to see. If you haven't had a chance, check out the trailer on our website. The noir side of it looks badass. I really appreciate the artwork and the art style and just the movement and everything that's going on in that trailer, so I'm pretty amped about it. And I haven't played Spider-Man game since the original Spider-Man game came out on the PS2 because I was able to dress up as, you know, the Fantastic Four costume with the brown paper bag. That was awesome. So yeah, those things are up on the website. We've got a lot of Forbidden Panel news coming up, but I think we'll save that for a different segment. So that's pretty much all I have. Brian?
All right. I think we're pretty much done here, so we'll take a quick break.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the panel cast. In this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about how our weekend was. In case you are like stuck in Siberia or something, or have never even heard of us, and this is your first time listening, or have never been on the website, you'd have known that this past weekend was pretty adventurous as far as where we were. On Saturday, May 1st, we were at Free Comic Book Day, which was hosted by Four Color Fantasies. Man, it was just an amazing experience, and I'll touch base on it more after this segment. And on Sunday, we were also at the Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention, which was also, you know, kind of cool and kind of fun. So what I'm going to do is I got a chance to sit down and talk to some people and do some recording while we were there. So we're going to go ahead, and this first part is from Free Comic Book Day. So have a listen, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is AJ. We're here at Free Comic Book Day at Four Color Fantasies in Rancho Cucamonga. I'm here with Justin.
Hi.
And Brandy.
Hey.
And we have other people floating around. My kid, Gabe.
Hi.
Everybody, Ryan.
Hey.
So yeah, it's pretty good turnout. We're gonna be taking pictures and bumping it every now and then. We got some semi quasi pretty famous people. Hey, there's still 10. And see how like we didn't even notice that? We could have been talking to them this whole time. Anyway, so we'll be running around doing interviews and talking to people. So yeah, stay tuned. Ignore Justin, he's crazy. He's giving away our stuff for free. So what's you, Justin?
I'm a generous guy.
You generous bastard. Anyway, all right. So we'll be back later.
Hey everybody, this is Brandy with Forbidden Panel, and I am at Free Comic Book Day here at Four Color Fantasies in Rancho Cucamonga, and I am sitting here with Rick. Everybody say hello.
Rick, say hello.
That was great. That was great. Okay, so tell everybody who you are and what you're doing here today.
All right, I'm Rick Basildua. I am from L.A. I work for a company called Top Cow, and I'm one of their inkers slash artists.
Awesome. So what books are you working on now?
Honestly, right now I am working on four books with Top Cow. There's The Darkness. I just finished up like the last seven pages of a book, a pilot season book we got coming out called Stealth. That's done by Sheldon Mitchell. The Darkness, done by Sheldon Mitchell also. He just started. I'm working on that with him. I'm working on Artifact with Michael Broussard, Image United with Mark Silvestri, and Epoch with my brother Eric.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy, but I don't know how I find free time.
Well, I've seen you over here, and you're actually kind of working, you know, dealing with this huge mass of people, as well as I see you drawing out here today.
Yeah, free sketchbook.
Oh, awesome free sketchbook. And totally, and I'm looking through Artifact, which looks pretty freaking awesome. I do have to.
Yeah, this one is done by, like, the few pages right here are done by a guy named Stefan Sijic. Yeah, he's the one who did the pages right there. He's, like, a computer artist also.
Ah, okay.
But, pause.
Game on. And we're back. So, how are you enjoying Free Comic Book Day today?
I am enjoying it immensely.
Big word. 25 cent even.
Immensely. Oh, I could just say I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so what are you pimping out here today?
Pimping out here today, we got Darkness 82 and 83. Me and my assistant Dulce have been working on this stuff.
Hi, assistant Dulce.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You gotta say hi, Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
There you go.
Hi. Oh, and by the way, Dulce is like smoking hot, just so you know.
Thank you.
For real.
Yes, but beware, guys, beware. She is taken. She's eye candy. You can stare at her all you want. I give you permission to stare at her all you want.
All day, every day.
But no touching.
Okay. Totally, okay. He noticed he said guys, so the girls, yeah, free game,
oh,
right?
Okay. I know, girls are all, they're all on limits. There can be off limits. That's on limits.
You're like, yeah. Okay, so what books are you reading right now?
Books I'm reading, well, honestly, is anything that we have as Top Cow, because it's honestly really easy to get a hold of.
Yeah.
It's just right there. I'm surprised with it. But we do get some books inside the studio that are like comp from Marvel, like that one book. I think it's called Girls and the Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. I just started The Walking Dead. I think I'm on like 47 at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging it, yeah.
So, those are basically
the easiest to get a hold of, but are you actually enjoying them?
Yes, I am enjoying it.
Oh, good.
I'm actually going to, I have the whole series of The Ultimates done by Joe Madd.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool because I do know Joe Madd.
Yeah.
And so I'm still waiting for my Darksiders copy.
Did you get a little starstruck when you're around him? It's like, oh, dude.
I know. Mr. Creator of video game and stock.
So,
I'm actually going to start reading The Ultimates since I have them all now.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm going to be getting into. Other than that, I got to work.
Yeah. I'm about to say, you sound really, really busy these days. So.
Really busy. Life is busy. I'd rather be busy than sitting there twiddling my thumb.
Yeah.
now think about it this way. You got work, and you got plenty of work, where you have somebody who's sitting there hoping to find work, and I'm like, no, I don't want to be like that. I'm glad. Praise God. Amen. You know, I'm actually got work, and I'm steady.
That's awesome. Totally. And your stuff looks absolutely amazing. So we're right about that. And so we're...
I'm sorry.
Your stuff. Okay, step on over, Dulce. Come here. Okay, so who are you and what do you do?
I'm Dulce Brata. I'm actually Rick's assistant, and I've been working on becoming a comic book inker now for about the past year and a half.
Oh, wow, cool. She's all grinning. You guys should see her face. She's all too excited. Hey, boss. Okay, and we're back. So are you just getting started with all this, or have you been as assistant for a while? You've been drawing, writing, what are you doing?
Well, I'm getting my degree in illustration right now, but I've known Rick for a few years, and he checked out my portfolio, and he asked me to be his assistant. And comic books, well, you know comics. Who wouldn't want to work in comics? So I'm here now. I've been working with him for like the past year and 6 months.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Joey, I saw you out here sketching earlier, and I was going to hit you up for some stuff, but, you know, you're already taken, so... As he made sure to mention over and over again.
But doesn't mean they cannot try. I'm just messing.
Totally. Because the look on both of our faces is like, did he just offer to sell her? Like,
I'm just messing.
We're just kidding. I'll edit that out. Don't worry. I'll totally edit that. No big deal. Okay, so how can our listeners get a hold of you guys? Website, email, all that good stuff.
I have email.
Okay, website. How can our listeners get a hold of you if they want to see your stuff, if they want to, like, email you, talk to you?
You can Google me.
Okay, so he's going to... We can Google him.
I honestly have not even created my own site. Someone did it for me, like a fan did it. So he put all my stuff up, and I'm like, I don't even know what it's like the link is to it. It's on my Facebook page.
You can find Rick on Facebook. And what about you, sweetness?
I have a DeviantArt page, so you can look me up just by finding my name, Dulce Brata. It's kind of hard to spell, but I'll give you the information.
I'm going to spell it because while your acting is beautiful, like... I'm going to spell it so they can actually type it out and find it.
Okay, so my first name is Dulce, which would be D-U-L-C-E, and the last name is Brassea, B-R-A-S-S-E-A.
Pretty wonderful. Okay, thank you guys so much, and I hope you guys have a great day. See you later.
Bye.
Hey everybody, it's AJ. Free Comic Day is still going on nutty. Hope you guys are enjoying all the pictures that we're taking. Having a blast. We're doing really great, surprisingly enough. Justin, what do you say?
Oh, you're broadcasting. Oh yeah, it's been awesome. Big turnout.
Justin's sitting here in pimp shades all day, though, trying to act like he's all badass.
No, it's my weak Irish eyes in the sunlight. I'm blinded in the sun.
Thank you.
That's why we invented pubs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been an awesome turnout. It's like even bigger than us last year. Had really good response to the book. It's been very cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty amped about it. How are you doing, Brandy?
What?
And that was Brandy.
We're recording. Hey, how am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm all right. It's been very, very busy today, but things are going, like, you know, pretty much on the upswing. But I'm tired and I'm hot, but everybody has been really, really awesome. It's been a huge turnout. It's so much bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's madness out here.
It is insane out here. Like, it's just a sea and a mob of people, as you can hear from the background.
Right. And we got the 501st supporting us, so it's all good. Like, they've become big fans, so yay, guys.
Yay.
The guys from Samantha came out and saw us, and that was pretty cool. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. We're running out of battery juice, unfortunately, so I don't know if I'll be able to talk to Mark Wade or Philip Tan or Rose Patricio or not, but try and get some pictures of them. So, yeah. We'll come back in a little bit. Yeah, I'm here with Mark Wade. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good.
So how are you liking Free Comic Book Day?
This is amazing. I've done Free Comic Book Days for years and years. I've never seen a turnout like this. This is a real event.
Yeah.
No, we like it. Chris does a good job putting on a good show.
I gotta say, I mean, they're looking at like 2,000 people here with all these tents and stuff. I mean, all these creators. It's just, it's a bouncy cult tent that I'll be getting in late at or, you know, when I'm drunk.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
I've already threatened to do it naked, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, you've drugged me, all right. So. And what about you? You having a good time here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're selling out like crazy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, everybody's really enjoying it and stuff, so we're liking the atmosphere. Are you planning on coming back for another pre-comic book day here?
I'd love to. I mean, like I said, it's the best turnout I've seen anywhere in the United States.
Cool. You're doing other stores as well today, right? Or you did another store?
I did another store. I did Earth 2 Comics in Northridge.
That's the one that John's owns, right?
Yeah, so I did that, yeah. So, yes, I gave John's all my time and money. I know. It's like the company store.
Right.
So that, and then I know we've also got some other Boom guys at the comic blog in Manhattan Beach and a couple other places here. We got one of our Boom staffers at Golden Apple downtown, in West Hollywood. And so, you know, we're getting the word out there.
Yeah, it's a good turnout, too. Like, hopefully, like, everybody else had a decent enough turnout like we did here. So
I mean, the Northridge turnout was really good. I so far, no disappointments, you know?
Right. It's free, so everybody's got to run through it. So. Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're finally back. All right, in this next segment, what we're going to do is we're going to hear Justin and AJ talking a little bit while they were at the LA Comic Con. This one's probably going to run a little bit long, so if you can just bear with us, we'll go ahead and jump into the LA Con recordings.
Hey everybody, this is AJ. We are here at the Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention. I'm here with Justin.
Hello again.
It's pretty much of a vendor day here. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, all right. not as good as it was yesterday, but, trudging along.
Well, okay, so let's talk about yesterday. Well, we got you here.
That's awesome.
Yesterday was fucking phenomenal. Yesterday was Free Comic Book Day. We did that at Four Color Fantasies, as I'm sure, like, I have stated before playing this whole recording. But I'm just going to state again, because I like to repeat myself and hear myself talk, obviously. So, Justin, what was your impression of yesterday? Tell us about yesterday and your experience and everything that you felt.
It was great. Everyone there is really cool. Everyone there is just to promote comics and the comic art, and the fans were just great and met a lot of really cool people, and it was a good time. It always is. It was last year. It was our second year, and it was really good last year. It's even better this year, and I think it's going to be even crazier next year.
Well, I think last year was, as good as it was still a shock to us, because it was pretty much our first time out as a group, and we didn't have any, like, preparedness or anything. We just, like, ran the gambit at that point.
Yeah.
So that was a little weird. So this year, we're in the advertisements. We were, you know, we had our booth all set up. Everything was great, and we had a crew working with us, you know, and that's what I liked about it. You know, it just felt more like we belonged there than anything.
Right. We were way more organized, had stuff made just for the show or just for the Free Comic Day, and we had really cool handouts that were really popular, and I guess, you know, it's like when you're giving the stuff away, people want to buy more stuff because, I mean, we sold phenomenally yesterday, you know, even with giving stuff away, and it was all around really good day.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, like I was saying, I think the first year, we felt like we were sneaking in, you know, because remember,
it was pretty last minute.
Yeah, and then they asked us to take a group picture, and we're like, really? That's okay. You know, it was like a little creepy, but this year, like, you know, it just felt better. What was your favorite part of the day?
I don't know, just pretty much seeing everyone's reactions to the free posters we had. Everyone was real excited, and they were, like, surprised they were free. Just stuff like that, you know, is when you have, like, quality stuff, people are like, whoa, this is free, and they're really excited about it. And then, you know, just stuff that's still kind of, we were talking about this earlier, you're kind of creeping us out when people want to take pictures with us. Like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's been like a year or so, but I'm still relatively new to being on this side of the table. I've been a fan for so many years. You know?
Right, yeah, it's a different perspective when you're on the other side of the booth. That's
yeah, yeah, it takes some getting used to. Oh, can I get my picture taken with you? I was like, okay. But no, it's really cool. I mean, it's like, you know what, you know, me and you have always, you know, dreamed about, you know, being video professionals. This is, does take a little bit of getting used to.
Yeah, it definitely takes a little bit. I forgot where I was going to go. See, this has been happening. This is how bad yesterday was. Like, yesterday beat our ass, but I've been just blank all day. I know what I was going to say. We did an interview yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, with the camera, the whole nine, microphone, and what was weird about it was I'm used to being on the other side of the mic.
Right.
So when she asked me a question, I answered. I was about to ask you a question or throw it over to you to let you answer. I'm like, wait, that's not my gig. I'm being interviewed. That's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, that was very cool. And, yeah, I mean, the whole day was just awesome. Everything went really well. All the other professionals that were there were really nice. All the customers were very excited to be there, really nice. And we had a bunch of friends come down to help us out and come pick up stuff. And yeah, it was really cool. It went really well.
It was a good turnout. I mean, there was 2,000 people there. 2,000 people to show up at a comic book shop is unheard of, not especially in one day. So, and we had like lines, like people were in line to see us. That was what was creeping me out, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
Like they go from our line and then go to like Mark Wade afterwards. I'm like, really? Like, awesome. Like, screw you, Mark Wade. We were first. So yeah, I thought I had a great day. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, like I said, we got there setting up like about 9 o'clock, and there was already a line around the side of the building. You know, so
like 2 hours before it opened.
So that was pretty crazy, but that was a really good day. Chris really outdid himself, and I can't say enough good things about the way Chris runs his shop. He just cares so much about, I don't know, like about promoting comics and like the comic industry and helping out everybody out that's into comics, and he's really selfless about it. And it makes his business better, and it makes everybody's business better.
And it helps that he's like a seriously hardcore geek.
Yeah, oh, he is. He loves comics, and he wants to spread them everywhere, and he is. He's just, he's really into it. He's really into getting everybody else into it. And it's, yeah, you can ask for a better comic store.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, he's got like a kind of an open book policy where you can just go in and read the comic if you want before purchasing it.
Yeah.
Sit down and relax. I mean, you'll find us there any day of the week just BSing about comics. You know,
right.
He'll sit down with you and talk to you about it. And, you know, you can ask him, hey, I like this kind of book. What other book would you recommend? And he'll nail it every single time, you know?
And, I mean, and I've seen him be totally honest with people. He's like, I don't know if you're going to like that much. You know, check out this instead. And
right. He's
not in it to make the bucks. And what's great about that is because he cares so much about, like, his customers and, like, the industry in general, is that by doing that, he makes more money, you know?
Right.
Where a lot of people, like, try and scheme and, you know, trick people into making more money. He makes more money because he is honest, and he has a healthy environment for people to go in and read comic books and just hang out and stuff, and yeah, like, he's awesome.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoy him. What really impressed me about the whole situation yesterday is that we knew it was Free Comic Book Day, but he insisted on it being all kid-friendly. Like, we had to reformat our book. We put out a special ash can and poster just to be kid-friendly to hand out to the kids, which we were thinking about doing anyway, but he was insistent about it with laying out all the other stuff that was out there, you know?
Right.
He didn't want any kind of, like, provocative images posted up or anything bad, no cursing. He had a curse jar. I don't know if you saw that up there.
I heard. I didn't see it.
John and I were contributing to that jar almost all day. So, you know, because he didn't want
anything. I think John should just, you know, wrote a check and...
I know, like,
put it in
the
van.
Yeah. Call me when it's time to cash in. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good day. Today we're here at the Los Angeles Science Comic Convention and Science Fiction, blah, 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 blah. We're at the Shrine Auditorium Expo. Yeah, what do you think about today?
It's slow. I mean, we've been doing okay, but it's slow. Most of the customers I have are, you know, regulars.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of traffic, but... I don't know. I don't know if the word just hasn't gotten out or what. I mean, but he had Dolph Lundgren here today, which is a decent draw.
He's the voice you hear talking in the background. It's Dolph Lundgren.
And, I don't know. It just seems kind of slow.
To me, it feels more vendor. This is a very vendor-orientated show.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess you get that whenever you name something a collectible show as opposed to a convention, but I don't know. We've come here before, I enjoyed it because there was a good equal balance of both.
Yeah.
You know, you had vendors and you had people like us, you know, selling their indie comics or what have you, and it was nice balance, but this time I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah, I think there was just us and one other, like, indie.
Yeah, one other pirate company, yeah.
And the rest is just, like, you know, action figures and comics and just, you know, regular vendors, you know, for sale, but you know, if that's what you're looking for, it's a cool place to go. There's lots of places with half off on graphic novels and...
Well, the box I want to get into is the 5 graphic novels for $20.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, see? We lost Justin now.
That's a good deal there.
Yeah, so I'm going to be going and hit that box up here in a second. Yeah, I mean, it was a good turnout, but, yeah. This month is busy for us, Justin. What do you think?
I'm very excited. I did a few conventions last year, but this is my first year of us really, you know, going full throttle at it. And but yeah, this month it's crazy. We had the Free Comic Day yesterday, the Shrine today. Next Sunday is the Rose Bowl, and then at the end of the month is the Rockin' Comics Con.
Yeah, the Rockin' Roll Convention, and then we got the Claremont Con on the 16th.
Oh, and the Claremont Con. We just signed up for that today too. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's cool. This is what, you know, this is what I've been wanting to do. And but yeah, you know, it's awesome. It's busy because, you know, I work all full time during the week and then go to conventions on the weekend. But I love doing the conventions. It's awesome. I love talking to people and hearing their comments. And I don't know, you know, like I said, I'm still geeking out about people, you know.
Geeking out on us.
Yeah, yeah, you know, oh my God, can you sign this? And, you know, right. It's just still really cool. So, yeah, I love the conventions. I love doing the conventions. And, yeah, hopefully, you know, very soon it'll be full time.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. One of the cool things about yesterday, throwing back on that, was that guy that came up and had the first printing of the ZKS Zero.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I bought this before, and I wanted you guys to sign it. And we're like, really?
Yeah.
We were trying to, like, upsell. We're like, dude, we've got the second printing with all the errors corrected. And he's like, no, I'm good with this one. Like,
yeah, we did the second printing and corrected the errors and changed the layout a little bit.
Yeah, it flows a lot nicer now.
Yeah, it does flow better. And but this guy had the original printing, and he had brought it with him because he knew we were going to be there to get it signed.
I had to give him a sticker.
Yeah, we gave him a sticker. And so, yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty cool. Someone actually brought our book to a show.
Right.
That he knew.
Look, this won't be now thinking about it. I'm like, somebody brought our book in. It was the same when we did the release party. We had somebody bring in their book.
Right, yeah, because we were selling for a little bit before that, they had the Four Color.
Right.
And, yeah, so he had brought in one in.
I think this one was just more of a, because there's other people there.
Well, yeah, there's other people there, and, yeah, it wasn't just us, and it was a bigger time span between him buying the book and the show. So that was really cool.
So, like, this guy had been, like, saving up. He was, like, save the date. I'm gonna see these guys. So that was kind of cool. But, yeah, we got, next week is the Rose Bowl show, which I really dig it. It feels like a home show to me, you know what I mean? Like, like how everybody has, like, their little home base that they like to operate on, work out of. To me, the Rose Bowl feels that way because we can build it up and just have a, I think it's, like, mainly almost pretty much our first one, our first con that we've done.
Yeah.
So I like the Rose Bowl kind of.
I like the Rose Bowl a lot, too, and, like, for the reasons you said, it's, you know, Chris is running it, so, you know, it feels very comfortable for us. And also, we've been there since it started.
Right.
So, you know, we're in with all the people that were there at the first day. So when it blows up, and I really think it will, you know, it's going to be cool that we got in there at the very beginning. We'll have we get along with, you know, the owner, obviously, so well. And
I've seen the traffic increase.
Oh, yeah, every month. You know, we get more traffic down there. And every month, there's more people coming there for the convention.
Right.
At the beginning, it was just people trickling in from the flea market.
Like, I know, if I would have known this was here, we were like, well, this is the first time.
yeah. So, I mean, now we're starting to see people coming down just for the convention. I mean, and it's a great deal. The $8, you get the whole flea market, which is enormous, and the combo convention, and, you know, free parking and all that. Yeah, it's a really good deal, and every month we see it get bigger and bigger, and like I said, every month there's more people coming in just for the convention, too, so that's cool.
Yeah, I love it. We keep scaring people away while I was talking. Like, hey.
We're like, why are these guys talking?
What are they doing? They're too famous. We gotta go. There's stuff lingering over here. So, yeah, we have a busy month ahead of us. How are you trudging along on the number one issue, I think is what everybody's really curious about. How are you enjoying it so far?
Well, I'm enjoying it a great deal. I'm doing it a little bit differently. Before, with the Zero issue, I did, like, all individual panels. And this year, I'm doing it more traditionally, where I'm drawing out the whole page, page by page. It's coming along pretty good. I got the first 5 pages penciled.
See, they're clapping with us. They heard all that noise, that news. Everybody's excited in the background.
Yeah, we should turn up that clapping. I'm done with the first 5 pages of the pencils for the first issue, and I started doing the thumbnails for the pages 6 through, 12? 14. 6 through 14. So I started doing the thumbnails for that. And I should finish those up this week and get them to you. Get your approval on them, and then I'll start penciling those. And then once I start penciling the next set of pages, I'm going to start inking the first set of pages. That way I can kind of, I don't get burned out between penciling and inking. I can bounce back and forth. And
plus, in the meantime, I could also give you ideas for how to touch up the first original pages.
Right,
and what have you.
Right, yeah. Since
you get to see the evolution, too.
Right, yeah. And that'll help because we'll be in less of a rush than we were last time. We can look over the beginning pages more thoroughly as we go. So
One thing that was tripping me out was that when I was going over the script for the book so far, and we have 14 pages of script, the story. I know, guys, I know. Hold the applause, please. And like I said, Dolph Lundgren's in the background, so anyway. Yeah, I wrote the script a good 6 months ago, the story, I mean. But we're on 14 pages of the script, and I realized, fuck, we're already 14 pages in. We got 8 more pages to go. Oh, crap.
Yeah, it zooms by quick. And what's really cool about this book is, you know, the Zero Issue wasn't really story-based.
Right.
It was just
what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
Introducing you to the universe as it was. But this one just starts out, right in the middle of the action. It starts out with her in trouble and in a building and surrounded by zombies, and it just drops you right smack dab from page one, right in the middle of it, and it's really cool. It's really exciting because the first one, it was just a slower pace because there's just introduction, and like I said, it wasn't real story.
Plus, we were building a universe too.
Right, we were trying to introduce everything to everybody and show how everything worked, and but this one just, from the first page, you just plop right in the middle of it, and it's just nonstop through the whole thing, so it's pretty cool.
How are you enjoying it?
Oh, I'm having awesome. It's really fun. Like I said, the first one, the Zero Issue was so static. I mean, that was fun, but this one is totally different, so I'm just having a blast drawing all the action shots and the fight scenes and stuff.
Not working you too hard, am I?
No. Well, the harder I work, I think the better it comes out,
Well, I think it's obvious. I was surprised by how fast you got the first 5 pages done.
I was excited to do it. It was just so much different than what we had done so far. And I think the format that I'm doing on it, where I'm drawing the whole page all at once, it makes me more excited because...
And you're not focusing on a panel.
Right. And there's so much detail I put into some of the smaller panels that you can't even,
Right.
Because we didn't really know what size they were going to be until we laid it out. But this way, we're laying it out as we're drawing it, so we know what to pay attention to and what to add more detail in and what doesn't need so much detail. And...
Well, see, in that aspect, the Zero Issue is really an intro for everybody, not just the audience, but us too.
It was the first time we had done anything.
Right.
Anything, that we've actually, got done and finished and printed and, because I'd done comics before, but nothing all the way through like that. And so, yeah, it was a learning experience. And at the beginning I thought, well, this would be a cool way to do it because each panel will be like its own picture. But then you end up wasting a lot of time with panels.
A year later.
Yeah. A year later, you realize that the 10 pages it took you this year to do shouldn't have taken that long.
Right. But, a page every month and a half.
But no, I think every issue we're going to learn more and get better. And... I think the story is going to improve, the art's going to improve, the layout, the editing, I think everything. And then a lot of things we decided as far as the running backgrounds and stuff, I think that's going to be a big niche that we're going to fill that
right.
You don't see a lot of.
And, running backgrounds and stuff
right.
Like that, yeah.
I think it's going to be kind of a little signature of ours that you're going to come to expect in the books. You're going to see these. There's going to be, every page, not every page will have it, but the pages that do, have these cool panels, but it'll also be a part of this larger piece of art that, you can really get into. And what's cool is AJ being the writer and me being the artist, I'm a huge fan of writing and AJ's a huge fan of art. So we can appreciate,
each other
and what each other does and look at it from that point of view. So it's not like we're, the artist is just into art and the writer's just into writing.
Right.
We both are fans of artists and writers and we follow artists and we follow different writers.
Yeah, you should see us at WonderCon. I was ooh, look at this writer and just look at this artist. years.
Yeah.
Not a lot, so like we kind of feed off each other in that manner. It's kind of cool. Like I dig it.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I don't know. Obviously we just click, and I think it's going to show when the book is on a regular schedule.
Well, hopefully once we get back to the honeymoon, because apparently we're getting married. Yeah. So. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to it. All the pages you keep giving me, dude, it just keeps amping me up, you know. Like I said, the problem is that we're having right now is that we kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
The convention schedule?
Right, well, not the convention schedule. It's once the book came out and everybody realized not only were we serious, but we're good.
Right.
Like, I know you on your side, you're getting a lot more requests to do more work and more stills and more stuff like that.
Right.
You know, and then me on my side, I'm getting more, I have to do more work on the back end, on the website, more promotion, more ideas, like what we got going on. You know what I mean? So it feels like we just, with the series coming out being so good, yeah, it's cool that it's good, but now we have no time to work on the first one.
Right.
You know? So it's like I was telling you before, like, you know, come into me.
Right.
You're grounded, you're only working on the comic, and I'm doing the same thing.
That's fine by me, because I'm dying to, like, really, you know, because, like I said, I've been, did the pencils, and I've been doing the thumbnails and stuff, but I've just been, you know, squeezing in when I could, so I'm really looking forward to sinking my teeth into it and spending, you know, hours at the table, you know, doing
pencils. And I always feel bad, dude. I seriously, if I feel bad, I'm like, he has no life because of me. Like, every time I come over, I feel like Kenny's going to beat the shit out of me. Like, you fucker, you took my husband away from me.
No, because we both know that by sacrificing life a little bit now is going to, you know, make things vastly better in a year or two.
Right.
Pretty soon when, you know, all this, you know, work pays off and we're doing this full time, you know, it's going to be awesome.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Why don't you tell me what we got on the table? Like, we got a lot of new stuff here that nobody's really seen, so why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, well, we got lots of new stuff, all which is available at the Forbidden Panel store, by the way.
Pimp that shit.
Well, we've got, of course, we've got the zero issue, and
which we're down to one copy.
Down to one copy of the second printing, no less. For those of you that got the first printing, you probably noticed more than a few spelling errors.
a little gray.
Some little tone problems with the printing. That's all fixed up. All the pictures are inked the way they're supposed to be. The majority of the spelling, I guess you found a couple of little things that are still...
Shh.
Anyway. All the spelling's fixed.
Everything looks good. Keep moving on.
No, everything looks good. We did a little bit of switching up with the layout. Nothing that really changed it. Just made it flow a little bit better.
No interruption.
No interruption. The whole thing reads all the way through. So that's what's new with the second printing. Then we have the posters of the cover, and we've had those.
Ryan's cover, he did an awesome job on those
covers. He's doing all the covers, right?
Right.
Yeah, Ryan's going to be our cover artist, and we'll probably do posters for each issue. And so, you know, you should collect the posters along with the issue, by the way.
Intent, nudge, nudge.
Also, we got a few prints. We got the 11x17 Never Fight Alone print, which is a blow-up of the two-page spread from the end of the book. And the Stay Alert, Stay Alive and the Know Your Enemy prints, which are both panels from the book. And if you haven't seen them, they're done up to look like propaganda that ZKS would pass out.
Which is an awesome job on it, by the way.
Well, see, that's, you know, and you kind of hinted at this when we started, and I really wanted to go with it. I wanted to make all the merch look like it existed in the universe.
Right.
You know, I didn't want it to look like it was an ad for comic book. I wanted to look like, you know, the team was putting it out to educate, you know, people and stuff. And like with the magnets and stuff, and the same thing. And we got two styles of magnets now. One's a little more popular than the other.
I don't care.
No, I don't care either. We sold out of the warning magnets at Free Comic Book Day, and we got more now. But yeah, we sold out of those almost before it even opened. I think
we had like one left.
One left when it opened. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of the vendors were really
were really into them and bought them.
Alien Empire, what was it?
Fan Force.
What's up?
Yeah, shout out to you guys.
Thanks for giving us some money.
Yeah, they bought a lot of stuff and hung out a lot at the booth and had a good time. Another new print we got up is the first of the ZKS schematics, which is a diagram, a blueprint diagram of the helmets that the team wears and like everything they do and with the gadgets they have in them.
Which was awesome because my kid had it face painted on him yesterday.
That's right.
Great job, Art. That was awesome.
Yeah, he had the helmet schematic painted on his face with the Free Comic Day, so that was cool.
It's also the second color print that we put out.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Everything else is black and white.
Yeah. So, and it's going to be the first. I've got three planned right now. The helmet one, then we're going to do a schematic of the uniforms, and then a schematic of the basic issue weapons. So I want to do those up, and everyone really seemed to like it, and it's like a cool idea. And again, it looks like it exists in the universe, in the ZKS universe.
Right.
And that's how I want to keep everything. The Ashcan we did looked that way. The poster that was based on the Ashcan, I really like what we're doing with that.
I like the way it's going. It's definitely different than what I had imagined it when I first created it and wrote it. But I think with your influence and your style and everything, the way it's coming out, like I love the way it's going.
I think it's just naturally evolving. You know, it's like deep down, it's new. Like we wanted it to go this way, but we didn't know it.
That happened because of the 24-hour comic book day. I think we realized that once we developed that the scene where the plane is dropping all the flyers, like it only made sense to advertise it in such a manner.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, how else are you going to find out?
Right.
You know, so you're going to need all this stuff. You want signs up there to let people know that they're not alone. They want to get involved and stuff like that. And we also want the customers, the fans, to get involved as well. Like, we want all that stuff.
We want the fans and stuff to replicate like what's going on with the merch and everything, to where like they're a part of the universe and you know they're feeding into the comic and we'll do ideas. That's the whole thing with the pinup contest we're doing. You know, we want the fans to do pinups and give them a chance to contribute to the ZKS universe, and so they can feel like, well, and you started it from the beginning with the character designs on the website. You know, we wanted fans to create characters and feel like they were a part of this thing that we were building.
I'd have them all involved, because I know growing up, like I always felt like an outsider. You know, that's sad when you're, well, I wouldn't say it's sad, it's a fact of life that when we're geeks as a child, we kind of felt like an outsider because we didn't find anybody else we could talk to or relate to or what have you, or even be involved. And for me, like writing comic books, we have customers. Yeah.
How you guys doing?
For me as a geek, like I've always wanted to be involved in comics, I've always wanted to write in comics, and now that we are, like I don't want to come up alone. You know what I mean? I want to involve everybody else. I want everybody to be involved, to be a part of this and join us, you know? And so that's what's great about ZKS, is that it feels like everybody is.
Right.
You know, and you're right with the character creations. I wanted people to create characters. Because I knew as a kid, I would want to see a character I created and see what happened to him.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the same way here.
Yeah. And the fans we have are really into it, and the real zombie fans in general are really into it, because we're wanting to involve them, and you know everyone's got good ideas, so I think this pinup thing is going to be really cool. Just get a lot of new people into it, and then it's just like you're involving all these people, and they're gonna they tell two friends and they tell two friends, it's just
the whole Wayne's World thing.
Yeah, it'll just blow up, and I really like the direction it's going. It's weird because like you said, we didn't really plan it, but it's just natural.
It just naturally happened that way. It's progressed in that manner.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited about it. What about the last poster we have up here?
Oh, the poster we did for Free Comic Book Day, it was a handout. It was based on the Ashcan we did that we will get reprinted, because I know only like 50 of you got one.
Right, that was completely gone before Free Comic Book Day opened. I kind of was pissed off about it, actually.
Yeah, they were just scooped up really fast, and we didn't have the funds, to print up all we wanted to, but we got posters made based on the Ashcan, which was 5 easy ways to identify a zombie. Like I was saying earlier, it's more, kid friendly and based on for kids, but still, had a fair amount of grittiness to it. It wasn't completely whitewashed, but it's cool. It's got Kayla, who's the main character from the first issue, and she's going step by step on how to identify a zombie, and it's got
it's got more humor in it than the book does, and just all around more, you know, accessible to all ages and everything. You know, the older people, you know, they still liked it. It was still, you know, cool and trendy, but the kids, you know, we felt okay giving it to kids and stuff, and the parents were like, oh, okay, yeah, you can have this, and so that was cool. You know, we really hit, like, all the audiences on that one.
Here's the thing. Here's to tell you how bad it was, okay? We had 200 of these posters printed up. I'm staring at the last one.
Yeah, we got one left, and well, today we had a few left. We were giving them out with the comics because we're all out of stickers.
Right. Because we ran out of 100 stickers.
Yeah, so we were doing a thing where you bought the comic, you got a sticker for free, but we ran out of stickers because people were buying stickers by themselves. We had a few of the free comic day posters left, so we're giving those away at the comic. Now we only got one comic, one poster left, so I mean, it's, you know, it's a happy sadness.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, catch 22, yeah. Pick your little thing there.
Sure, we're all out, but that means we sold everything.
Right.
You know, it's really cool.
And then we noticed that yesterday, I think, when we had a, I think we were both there. People were coming up and looking at us, and we're like, well, we're all out of the free giveaways, you know, all we have is this, walking away.
Yeah, we did pretty good because we lasted, you know, most of the day. I think it was just this at the very end, we ran out of the posters.
Whereas last year, we were out by like one.
Yeah. Well, last year, too, we were letting people take as many as they wanted. I think we learned our lesson this time. One per customer, so it went really good. And, like, you know, even the free poster we're giving away, it fit in with the whole universe and the way we're doing everything. So, I mean, everything's just fitting right in there. Nothing looks like it's an advertisement or a piece of merchandise. Everything looks like, you know, it's right out of the book.
Right.
Like you would,
and some of it actually is.
Yes, and a lot of it is, yes. But, you know, some of it would actually looks like, you know, a poster you would see on a lamppost, you know,
right,
in the city that they put up. Because that's what's great. That's the good thing about fighting zombies is you can put out all the printed propaganda you want and it doesn't matter because they can't read it.
Right.
You know,
in fact, I believe I put that in the store.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, we're not liable if zombies do attack because zombies can't read.
They can't read. But, you know, you can drop flyers saying where the headquarters is because, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But, so yeah, and look for that. You're gonna start seeing things in the book for sale in real life. So, you know, posters you see up on the walls in the cities and stuff, we're gonna actually have those posters available and this stuff like that. We wanna tie everything in. Tie in the merch with the book, with the customers, with the fans, and
this is why I keep joking about the fact that we're gonna stop doing the comic book and just merchandise and everything. We're just gonna go into merchandising.
Our merchandise is a lot of fun. I mean, drawing comics is obviously fun, but thinking of cool things to do with the images, I mean, it's a blast.
Right.
Because the images are already done.
Right.
You know, so, you know,
we've milked the hell out of the zero image issue.
Yeah. It's 10 pages, but we got two prints and a poster and magnets based off of that 10 pages.
Right. And an ash can.
And see, and that was what was cool about the free poster we did is it was all just images from the ash can. I just rearranged them into a poster format. And you know, it's just fun. I love doing merch. It's all just, you know, taking what you already have and just relaying it out, and it's a lot of fun. And I love messing with layout. It's like one of my things I love doing, so it's always a lot of fun to do that.
I'm loving the dog tags we're wearing.
The dog tags are badass. Again, it looks like they came out of the book. You know, it's just one of those things that happen.
I keep thinking, like, it's my badge.
Yeah.
Like, when I was walking around yesterday and I was walking in between going to the smoke, I kept, like, holding it up, like, oh, wait, no, that's my
badge. But, yeah, we're going to have the dog tags available soon. I think we're going to have, like, we're talking about two different quotes on them.
Yeah, we're going to have two different styles on there, and we're going to have a few of each. I'm going to order them this week. In fact, let's get on that right now. Let's talk about what we got coming out next. What's coming out next is this week I am finally going to get the 24-hour comic book scanned in. Finally.
Yeah.
It's been October.
Yeah.
Anyway, shut up.
Well, it's not your fault.
It's not. Yeah, that's it. That's right. It's not my fault. That's it. We're going to have that scanned in, so we'll have that available to sell at the cons and on the store within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
It's cool because it'll give you a little background as into the main character that's in the first issue.
Right. In fact, the reading order right now as it goes will be the 24-hour comic, the zero issue, and then number one. Right. And then we'll put the ash can. I think the ash can goes in between the zero and the 24-hour
right.
comic.
Yeah, because
Kayla's the main character in the Ashcan.
In the Ashcan, yeah. So, but yeah, it gives you a little insight as to her and like how she came to join up with ZKS. And
this was a project where we knew right then and there that we were going to do good, and this is what we wanted to do as far as like working together as a team and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we spit that out in 24 hours, and it looks good.
It looks good, and it flows really good.
Right.
And it
definitely tell when we got tired.
Yeah, you can definitely tell when we got tired. And we'll put a disclaimer in it saying, you know, we did this in 24 hours, so you know,
cut us some slack.
There's a lot of splash pages,
right.
But it's really cool, and I think for how quick we did it, it really gives you a good insight into this character, and it shows in just a few pages her going from scared farm girl into kick-ass zombie hunter, and her hitting the road to find ZKS after she finds the flyers, So, yeah, I think it's going to be cool, and we're going to be doing more of these, we haven't decided on a title, but, ZKS Origins.
Right.
Until we come up with an official title, but, where we spotlight some of the characters and show them, how they came to join ZKS. And
showing their back issues, their backstories, and stuff like that.
Like, what
happened. So personalization of the characters.
Right, right, and what happened after the apocalypse set in, and, like, how they dealt with it, and
right.
what drives them, and stuff like that. And I think we actually had somebody write in and ask us, about characterization and stuff, and you'll start seeing more, almost immediately. I mean, for sure, with the 24-hour book, you'll see that.
Right.
And then once you read that, it'll merge right into, it's awesome because you go from the 24-hour issue of Kayla leaving to join ZKS to the first issue with her being a full-fledged member.
Kicking ass.
Just kicking ass in the middle of action. So,
actually, the origins comes before the zero. The last two pages on the zero is Kayla fighting off, about to be attacked by the horde.
Right.
And those hordes and her fighting it off is what starts off page one of the first issue, and that's all we're going to talk about the first issue.
Yeah, the whole first issue is her in a building.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, her in a building fighting hordes of zombies.
Right.
So it's nothing but action.
Yeah.
Explosions and gore, and you will see the first turned ZKS member, so you'll see.
You're giving her too much away, Justin.
Shh, shh, shh. There'll be a zombie ZKS member.
Who's drawing yesterday, by the way?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it'd be lots of cool stuff, and I'm just excited. I mean, we've got nothing but good stuff coming up. And
I'm excited, too. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, this is going to be basically the whole panel cast. So when we come back, yeah. Now that I have you on the mic, Justin.
Rambling on. Good thing it's slow. You get me to talk a whole lot.
I know. Like, you're almost like Brian. Well, no, not really, because Brian won't talk even if we do. Brian only talks to me online behind a computer. I can't even see his face. So I don't even know what Brian looks like in real life. But we have pictures of him, but that could be anybody.
Yeah.
It could be anybody at this point. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, Justin and I will talk about the comics we're reading and some of the other stuff that we got going on outside of the ZKS world. So,
there's something outside of ZKS?
Shut up. There is now. In fact, that's what we're going to use this break to discuss. All right, bye.
And we're back. I like the little high pitch that I had as the intro.
We're still at the LA Comic Con. Justin, what have you been reading?
Well, I just finished the Kick-Ass trade. It was very good, but what do you expect? It's Mark Miller.
Right.
Mark Miller's a bitch. People complain. I've heard people say that he's like the mindless action writer for comics, but I don't know, the stories are always good. He writes good stories. They're good, solid stories. Had a couple cool twists in it. What's really cool about Mark Miller is he can write his creator-owned stuff and established characters. And you look at Wanted and like Kick-Ass, which he created, and now Nemesis, and then you look at he did Old Man Logan and Civil War. He's very good at writing creator-owned stuff and established characters, and then John Romita Jr. I've fucking been on his jock for since the 80s. He's badass. And
so you're the lump.
Yeah, that's me. But John Romita Jr. is the only. He's a badass artist. He was pulling for a while. He was pulling out two books a month. It was just amazing. But yeah, it was just a good solid book. I read Marvel Zombies 3, which was really good. Not as good as the first two because Kirkman was writing it, but it was good. I think that's all I've read since last we talked.
Like two books? It's been like 4 months.
I don't read much. I have to draw all the time.
Oh, now look, it's all our fault.
No, because I was actually going to, I was going to mention that when I post a review on the site, is that my reviews are going to be really biased because I don't read that much. So when I do, it's something I know I'm going to like. So you probably won't be hearing too many bad reviews from me. I don't have a lot of time to experiment with books.
It's not a matter about whether you like them or not. I think it's why you like them that people want to hear.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. But Kick-Ass was awesome. I enjoyed the movie. I thought that they did a good job. Only thing I wish that we would have done different in the movie is kept Red Mist identity secret like they did in the book and didn't reveal it to the end, because I thought that was one of the cool twists. But
at the same time, there's no way Christopher Mintz can only play one character,
right?
And there was no way he would have been able to pull off
right.
Well,
see, like,
keeping it hidden.
Yeah, in the book too, you didn't see his alter ego at all. Really, you saw him once in this. He came into the store that one time in the book, and he would have had a real small part in the movie if they would have kept his identity secret. Because there's no way they could have pulled it off, you know, and not have you known. But no, I thought the movie was good, and the book was awesome. I think that's all I've read. I've got a bunch of stuff I need to read, but I haven't gotten to it yet. And I had to spot 3 more things today, so yeah, I'm even further back behind now.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Your backlog is backlog.
See, I know eventually someday I'll have time to read, so I just keep buying stuff for when I do.
I don't bother reading what I buy anymore. I just put it automatically on the shelf and wait for somebody else to, hey, how is this? Okay, I guess.
It's okay, I bought it, so it must be all right.
Ah, it must be good. I mean, it's Kirkman. I mean,
yeah, and pretty much aside from you, letting me know, you know, what's good out there. I follow creators, you know, follow a writer I like, follow an artist, or someone does something new, I like to pick it up. But that's basically it for right now.
Well, alrighty then. Don't look at me, I haven't read anything new. Area 10 by Crystal Cage was the last thing I read, and talked about that on the last panel cast. So. Are you still listening to the panel cast, Justin?
Yeah, I listen to them all the time. Every time a new one comes out.
He has to say that.
No, I do. I listen to them when I draw. Put my headphones on, listen to them, and good stuff.
Funny joke my son sent me that I have to share. I'm going to share with everybody. So the joke is basically like, so I was at this restaurant, coffee shop, and I was reading, and I realized I had really bad gas, but you know, they were playing the music so loud, I just released it to the beat of the song. When I stood up, everybody was sitting there staring at me, and I didn't understand why. And that's when I realized I was listening to my iPod.
Yep, that would do it.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
All right, cool. Justin, it was nice having you on the show again. But we'll be together every weekend for the next couple of months. So
yeah,
we're going to have you on the show again soon. All right, well, I'm going to send it back over to me and Brian. Then we're going to talk about nonsense and cool stuff. So thanks a lot.
Okay, we're back. And I have to say that I am really sorry that I missed both of those events. I would have liked to have gone, especially Free Comic Book Day. Seems like it just was really a phenomenal thing. I mean, from everything that you've told me about it and from listening to the recordings, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it was an awesome, awesome time, and you were definitely missed it. I think you would have liked it, you know, just the whole experience and what was going on. Free Comic Book Day was pure madness. Like, seriously, nothing but madness. 2,000 people showed up at the event. And once again, we were the first booth that they saw when they walked in the door. So we had all of them hitting us up and talking to us. And it was just a phenomenal experience. We met a lot of great people. And apparently, we have fans. Like, I had no idea that this was going on.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, like, I'm still tripping out over the whole experience. You know, I sit there repetitively. I sat there throughout the whole day looking at Justin like, dude, we have a 10-page zero issue. Like, what's going on here? Like, you know, this is surreal. I don't understand it.
Well, we have more than that, really. I mean, we've got the podcast. We've got a lot of other things. I mean, the comic book is just a part of what we're doing, and it's our main focus. but we really do have a lot of content.
Not true, very true. And what was cool is at the event we had put out an ash can called the five ways to identify a zombie, and which I wrote up. Justin did the artwork on, and we put it out. 8-page ash can. It's an awesome little ash can. It's pretty cool, and it was very popular there. And Justin made a poster based on the ash can. It's basically the same stuff that's in the ash can, just in a poster form. And we had 200 of those, and those got swiped up really quick. We have, I think we have one for each of us saved. That was it. so, yeah. And we met a lot of cool people at that event. We met the Inland Empire Fan Force. A really, really great bunch of guys. You know, they're just local Star Wars geeks that like to put on a show about it, and they're pretty cool. They kept coming by the location and the booth and talking to us and stuff, and you know, it's just a big blast. And I brought my son out there, my 15-year-old son Gage, and he was running around having a blast. He got his face painted like a ZKS mask and was talking to everybody. Nice. And trying to promote everything, and he had a blast too. So that just goes to show you, it was just an all ages, all fun show. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So yeah, Brian, you were really missed, and you would have loved it too, like I said. So maybe next year you can show up for it or host one out there. So we'll see.
Well, I plan on winning the lottery this year, so that should cover everything.
Awesome, awesome. See, I'm planning on waiting till like 2011 to win the lottery, but you know, I'll let you win it first.
Yeah, we'll stagger it.
Yeah, we'll stagger it. You know, that way we keep us all in money at one point in time. And also there was the Los Angeles Comic Con, which was on Sunday. Bad event. I mean, I don't know. It was more of a vendor event, honestly. You had a lot of vendors out there selling all their stuff, you know, local comic shops or what have you, DVDs, toys, things of that nature. It was pretty.
Was it the one at the
Shrine? Yeah, it's the one at the Shrine that you and I have been to.
Okay. Yeah, that one seems like that's pretty much what it always is, just people there selling comics.
I don't know. Normally, I see like an equal blend, like a 50-50 blend of independent comic book people or people trying to promote their talent, as well as vendors, you know. And this year, there was only us and another guy, and I didn't have a chance to go over and talk to the other guy, honestly. So I apologize for that, but I don't know. It just wasn't the same. It just didn't feel the same. Dolph Lundgren was there, and he premiered one of his new movies, and then he went up on stage and talked a little bit. I snuck in real quick, took a quick picture, and then bounced out. We had, for what it was, being one of the two only creators, comic book creator people there, we got pretty slammed there, and it was kind of cool. Except for the 40 minutes that Justin and I were rambling on the mic, people were walking up, freaking out, and then walking away like they didn't understand what was going on. But before and after that, we had a lot of people come out. We sold out of all the issues that we have. So we're going to our third printing of the comic, which is still phenomenal to me. Gave away all the posters that we had to give away. We sold a lot of the posters. Met a lot of cool people. In fact, I think we may have found a new video game editor. Not editor, but reviewer for the website. She's going to be in contact with [S2] Cool. [S1] Us here soon, as well as a couple new artists and writers who are looking to have us publish their book. So you could see a couple new titles out from Forbidden Panel coming up here in the next year. As we discussed in the recording that Justin and I did, we have a lot of plans going on, and 2010 is going to be a big year for us. So by the end of the year, expect us to have at least 5 or 6 books, whether they be ZKS or other titles. We will have those books out. So if anything, that's what was great about the LA Comic Con, and that you know, we got to pick up some great, great issues that we wouldn't otherwise be able to purchase, and got to plan out and talk about what we got coming up next. So it was pretty cool.
Sounds like you also got to meet up with a lot of local talent as well.
Oh yeah, a lot of local talent, a lot of cool people. So yeah, it was pretty nice, you know.
Yeah. Again, I'm sorry I missed it.
Like I said, you were missed. Next weekend, you will be able to find us at the Rose Bowl Comic and Collectible Show. As Justin and I mentioned in the recording that we did, that show is – that feels like our home base is the Rose Bowl. You know, we've been there since day one, and we have a huge space, a huge area. We have a lot of stuff. All of our reorders should be in by then. So if you have a chance, please come out to the Rolls Bowl and come check us out.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a good atmosphere. And plus, they have a sort of a swap market thing going on.
Right, the Rose Bowl flea market is going on at the same time, and it's the biggest flea market in the world and the nicest flea market in the world, from what I've been to. So $8 gets you into
everything.
Yeah,
bring your whole family.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's going to go ahead and end this segment, so we will take a quick break and then be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
And welcome back, everybody. In this segment, we are going to talk about some of the comics that Brian has remembered he likes to read. But before we get started, I want to tell you about the books I picked up at the LA Comic Con. I picked up The Girls, Volume 4 by the Lunar Brothers. Lunar Brothers is one of my favorite collaborators right now. And The Girls was just an awesome book. If you haven't had a chance to read it, you should pick it up.
Yeah, it's a pretty disturbing story.
It is, because I don't want to get into it too much, but it's pretty messed up because you're confused as to where you would be and where you would stand. But you can completely relate with all the characters and their choices that they make. I think that's what's really disturbing about it. The other one I picked up was Blood and Water, which is an awesome, awesome story. It's about a guy who's somehow almost picked up every single disease known to man, but his friends who are vampires decide to help him out by turning him into a vampire to help cure him. Picked up Volume 1 of The Exterminators, which is also a really cool book. If you haven't had a chance to pick it up, you should. It's put out by Vertigo. Vertigo. Done by Simon Oliver and Tony Moore. Picked up Volume 2, one of my favorite series that's out right now, and that would be DMZ. It's, we've talked about it before on the show many, many, many times, but it's done by Brian Wood, who's just a phenomenal writer, and this book is just amazing, so you guys should check it out. And last but not least, I picked up Volume 1 of The Mighty. This book is the shit. Okay, it's basically like if Superman got pissed. So, five books I picked up.
If he decided to stop pulling his punches.
Right. Not just at the villains, but at the people in general. Like, if you got pissed off at the world, you know. And that's The Mighty. It's awesome. So, yeah, five books for $20, dude. You can't beat that. So, Brian, why don't you tell us about the comics you've been reading?
Okay. I will do that. The first one that I was going to talk about was Red Crossed, and
that's Ennis,
Garth
right?
Ennis. Yeah, Garth Ennis, sort of his contribution to these sort of zombie apocalypse genre. This one is, of course, it's typical Garth Ennis in that it's really brutal and violent and gory and really has some pretty fucked up situations in it. I mean, I have to be honest. I'm not going to ruin exactly what they are, but there are some things in there that are just goddamn.
Yeah.
But the storyline for this one, and I think we've talked about this before, but is basically some sort of weird contagion starts infecting people, and it starts off in a little diner in a small town. And essentially what this is it doesn't really turn people into zombies, although it spreads in a very similar manner. But what this disease or whatever it is does is it basically sort of shuts off everybody's moral center, and people just start acting out and being as violent as possible, raping and killing and cannibalizing, and just basically they become monsters, just functioning almost on pure just instinct and nothing else. Like
more of an animalistic instinct.
Right, more animalistic. It's not that they become stupid and mindless. They still have some intelligence and still have some semblance of who they were. They can talk, and it's just they become horribly, terribly violent. The most vile, despicable kind of people that you can think of is what they become. And to the point where all they want to do is just kill and rape and destroy and maim. And so, it's a pretty gut-wrenching series, especially some of the stuff that happens in it. It's pretty rough. If you have a weak stomach, I don't recommend it for you. But it's a good story.
Yeah, I dug it. It's like it's almost zombie-like in how, you know, the world has to react to it, and that, you're right, in how it spreads and stuff. But it's more of a, I don't want to say humane, but more of a human aspect in it, you know? It's jacked up.
Right, because the part of their story is that they sort of imply that the way that these people are acting is something that's inside of everybody. Most people have the ability to sort of filter out their baser instincts and act more human. And in this disease or whatever it is, these people lose that. They lose the ability to sort of empathize with their fellow man and turn just strictly towards wanting to cause as much damage as possible.
Right.
And let's see. Moving on, another zombie story here. I finally went and read the first issue of We Will Bury You, which, if anybody's listened to the podcast, knows we did an interview with both Brea and Zane Grant at Comic-Con a couple years ago, and then just last year we did an interview with Brea Grant about the comic. And so I've read the first issue, and it's pretty good. I want to read the rest of this series and find out what happens. It has interesting characters, and it takes place, I think it's the 1930s.
Yeah, 1930s, 1940-ish.
It's around that time period. I don't recall if they said specifically in the comic what the actual time period was, but it's around that time, sort of the... And everything is really sort of dirty and grungy, and it's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a zombie genre story that was done in this particular time period.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. It was enjoyable. And it starts off with the main characters are... one is a woman who, I guess... I don't know that they were called flappers, but she works sort of... dancing with gentlemen. That's what she does. It's her job, is people pay to dance with her. And with her lesbian lover, who is sort of like her secret lover, are the main characters. And the first issue really just covers the rise of the zombies and then sort of leaves you hanging. It's a little bit of a cliffhanger ending as to what's going to happen, which any good comic should do.
Right.
So, looking forward to reading the rest of that series and seeing where it goes.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to like read through it, you know, and give it a chance. But I have, you know, taken a look. I like the artwork. The artwork is really good. I think Kyle Strom did a great job with the artwork.
His style really seems to lend itself to that seedy, kind of dirty 1930s urban setting that it takes place
right.
in.
No, he does a great job with the artwork, and then the cover done by Temple Smith I think is phenomenal also. I know that issue number 2 is already out. I think issue 3 is on its way out, if there is a third issue. I'm looking forward to looking to it as well.
What have I read next? Oh, this one took me a while to track down. And I don't know if it's just because nobody out here is carrying it or what the issue is, but Mark Millar's new series, Nemesis, I just read the first issue of that, and I think there's a second one out.
I believe there is too, yeah. That series is awesome, by the way. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, it was good. This is another one of those pulls no punches types of things. I mean, the very first issue just starts off with...
Yeah, don't give it away, though. Don't tell what happens.
No, I won't. But yeah, just this is, like, all this shit happens, and you have to think that this is the very first issue, and it's pretty huge, so. But the storyline of Nemesis is essentially a sort of a Batman-like character, not Batman at all, but just, he's not a superhero, no powers or anything, he just has a lot of technology and has a lot of, a lot of resources, like a lot of money and a lot of technology and all this crazy stuff and skilled in martial arts. Except he's a supervillain.
Right.
So he's essentially going out and doing all this stuff and there really isn't anybody that can stop him. So I think it's probably, well, while it's a bit over the top, probably at least a fairly accurate idea of what would happen if somebody had that kind of power that these superheroes have. I think that's probably most likely what it'd be, is somebody would had that ability, it would kind of let it get to their head.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a cynic, but I could see it happening. I could see somebody at least with that much power attempting to do the things that happen in this comic.
What else have you read?
Let's see. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I read Area 10, which I went and read through the whole series for that.
That's the book I talked about in the last podcast.
Yeah.
How'd you like
it? Yeah, it was. It was really enjoyable. It was interesting, and I thought it was a pretty clever name when I first started reading it. I was like, oh, Area 10. At first, I was thinking it was going to be kind of alien or
something.
Like
an Area 51 type of reference.
Getting into this, right. But then when I started getting into the story, I was thinking, oh, Area 10 must be a reference to the Broadman Area 10. And that's exactly what it was. So essentially what happens is, without giving too much away, and I think we already covered it, but the police officer ends up getting stabbed in the head. And the storyline deals a lot with some mystical stuff in terms of the more mystical side of trepanning. Basically, there is a group of people out there that believes that drilling a hole into your head will, I guess, release your chakras or something. I'm not really sure how it's supposed to work, but I at least understand that that particular point of view does exist and that there are people that does it. And so this comic book sort of takes that scheme and shows, you know, what would happen if that sort of thing were true. And so he gets stabbed in the head with a screwdriver, I think it is, at some point by some crazy guy. And it ends up being right in this spot where, you know, it opens up his chakras or something. I don't know.
Basically, it was an intentional stabbing that they talk about. Like, the very center of your brain is where supposedly your third eye is located at. And, you know, the trepanation, right. What they believe in is that they drill the hole in there, or at least release the pressure that the brain would create, and it opens up a new visual sense of how you see the world, and also opens up your third eye in the whole meditation sense as well. So and that's what the book focuses on, how the detective is now dealing with it after being stabbed in the forehead and all that. So I thought it was an awesome story, and I love Christos Gage's writing anyway. So, but I'm glad that you liked it as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. I kind of like those science fiction-y stories, even if they're entirely not based in science at all.
Right.
You know, I mean, I like watching shows like Fringe and stuff like that, which are, you know, they're all made-up science, but it's still entertaining. If it's written well and if it's done right, then I like it. And so, some of the explanations for the basis of the powers that he was getting, I think, kind of lost me a little bit, but overall it's really, really entertaining story.
Great.
And it's sort of head trippy, which I like. I like those stories that kind of mess with your head and you don't really know what's real and what's not.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, dude. It's really not something that you would expect out of a comic book. Like, it'd make a great novel and even so much as a movie, you know, kind of like a little B-rated movie and such. So, and I think that's what attracted me to it the most, because, you know, I'm always looking for something that breaks outside the boundaries of your normal comic book world, the whole superhero suits and capes and all that stuff. So I'm glad to hear that you liked it.
Yeah, it was a good what-if story, and I think the black and white art really sort of helped with the mood of the story
as well.
I'll
have to agree with you on that one. What else have you read?
I got one more thing here. This one is a webcomic that I just discovered recently, and I went through and read the entire series and caught up to it. It's a webcomic. I don't know if you've ever read this one, but it's called Dresden Kodak.
No.
And it's a sort of it's really difficult to describe. The comic is basically a sort of combination of science and science fiction with a sort of steampunk, cyberpunk mixture. It blends a lot of genres, but the guy makes a lot of nerd culture references, a lot of science references. He finds a way to work science into it. The storyline, there's a main storyline with some certain characters, and then he just does like these little sort of one-shot things that are not really related to anything. But the main storyline follows this girl who is sort of a super genius misanthrope, and she, I guess it's like supposed to be some sort of a parallel world that they live in, and she essentially builds robots and technology, and she's absolutely obsessed with science. Both of her parents are scientists, and she grew up in that sort of environment. Doesn't really know how to deal with people a lot, and so she sort of withdrew into the world of logic and reason, and it just, I don't really know a good way to describe this storyline. It's just one of those things that I think you would have to read, and it's nice too to see the guy's progression for his art style really develops a lot as the comic goes on, and I really like his art. It's almost sort of a blend of the anime style with American cartoon style. But he really develops it pretty well and has a very distinctive look in the more recent comics that he's got.
Awesome.
But I would recommend anybody, if you like robots or if you like science-based things, or if you even if you just like nerdy comics, go check it out. I mean, the characters in this story have this role-playing game that they play on occasion where all of their magic is based off of scientific formulas and like philosophical theories, and it's pretty entertaining. So read it.
And you can find all the information to everything that Brian has talked about. We'll link it all up here in the site, so you can go check it out yourself as well.
Yeah. And I think that's the extent of everything that
sounds
I read.
Sounds like you...
I've got a few other things lined up, but...
Save it for another panel cast. sounds like you had a busy week of reading, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I decided that I would do what I should be doing in reading comic books to have something to talk about.
Do your job, buddy. All right, then. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and take a break, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games. And yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And I'm sorry.
And we're back, and we are just trying to end this bloody episode.
We're having technical difficulties on our end, and for some reason, this is the fifth time we've recorded this segment.
So we'll see how this one goes. But we've got a few announcements that we want to get out there.
Yes, we want to talk. And this time I'm going to try and streamline everything, because I've been babbling for the last five times we record this. Four Color Fantasies, we love you guys. Nat, Chris, you guys rock. Without you, we would have no career or no fans at all, and we really appreciate that. Remind everybody to please check out our Facebook page. You can find us under Forbidden Panel or Zombie Kill Squad, or you can find us individually under Brian Kreusch or AJ Herrera. We like talking to our fans. We like fan interaction. We're very easy to approach, except for Brian. He kind of has that little weird smell about him, but you get used to it after a while. It's kind of like an aphrodisiac.
It's like a bath.
Yeah, but you know, a bath and puke is still puke. Check us out. Find us. We'd appreciate it. I'm doing a photo shoot coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And yes, it's an all-female shoot. I'm going to let you guys know right now, and I apologize for all you guys that really wanted to get involved or not, but it's an all-female shoot, and I can't tell you why yet. It will reveal itself when it's done. But we're doing two of them. The first one is a ZKS photo shoot, and where we need females to dress up like zombies and so forth, and come out for – it's going to be a couple days long in the shoot. Different locations, different scenes, different things happening. And the other one is a geek photo shoot where we will have you at Four Color Fantasies playing with all the toys and just geeking out in general, but doing it in a nice and fun fashion. So if you would like to join us, we need volunteers. It's AJ at ForbiddenPanel.com. I'd appreciate any of the emails that you can send us and let us know whether or not you'd like to be involved. Big what's up to Inland Empire Fan Force. You guys were rocking it. At the Free Comic Book Day, thanks for your patronage and your friendship. You guys were pretty awesome. It was nice meeting you guys. As well as Symantec. You guys came out all the way from San Diego to come say hi to not only the store owners, but John of Dry Hard, as well as Justin and myself, and we really appreciate it. You guys are rocking it. We're really excited to see what you guys got coming out next. And I believe that's all I have. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. This is the part where I get to make Brian feel like crap. Thursday night is the Iron Man 2 premiere. We're doing a private showing with Four Color Fantasies. They're hosting the event at the Edwards Ontario Theater in Ontario, California. Midnight showing. It's private screening, man. It's just us geeks that buy our tickets from the store. That's the only people you will see in that theater. It's an awesome experience. We have a lot of fun. You get, for $25, you'll get the ticket to the movie as well as a free T-shirt and a bag of goodies, and be entered into a raffle. So
yeah, this is the fifth time he's rubbed my face in it.
Yes, and you know, Brian keeps smiling while I'm doing it, so I'm just going to keep rubbing away. Please come join us. I will be putting up a link on the store for you where you can buy the tickets, as well as you can go into Four Color Fantasies and buy the tickets there. We will be selling tickets on site as well if you just want to show up and get some stuff. It's an awesome event, and we will be taking pictures and recording bits of the panel cast while we were there. So that way we can send it over to Brian and make him cry like a little girl. It's an awesome experience, and please come join us. Brian?
I just want to thank everybody for listening and tell everyone to please go to our friends' websites, Symantec.com, Jawhard.com, BrandyOsset.com, and Necrosapien.net. And please go to our store. Please buy our stuff.
Lots and lots of stuff, because you buying our stuff means we can put out more comic books.
And I think this is going to wrap up episode 54, which we should probably break this up into about 7 episodes, but right. We won't do that.
No, we won't do that.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, and take care.
Talk to you guys next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.